the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
If you're Doug Marone and a cast of others today, you are playing this song as you're taking this job and shoving it. It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing. We thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, we got a few guys out the door.
There should have been two more that have been fired today. But
well, we already had, let's see, we had Dan Quinn in Atlanta earlier. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We had, who were other interim? We had Romeo Crennel taking over for Bill O'Brien. Right?
Yeah.
We had Matt Patricia that was gone with Daryl Bevel. And then the random wide receiver coach guy.
Yeah.
And then today, well, I don't even know if the ink was dry before Adam Gase was fired.
Yeah. Like, we had the clock hit zero, you're fired.
Yeah. Doug Marone was fired.
You see what you fired last year.
And then Anthony Lynn was fired, who we kind of predicted.
I said his pink slip was on his desk for about a month, so that was going to happen.
Right. So, Black Monday in the NFL, as it's commonly known, but take this job and shove it, we felt was a good way to start off the show today. On the program this evening, we'll talk about the last week of the National Football League, set the table for not just any wild card weekend, but super wild card weekend. I feel like there needs to be some, like...
I don't think there is.
You know, I...
There isn't.
So. There isn't what?
A song for that.
Well, sure there is. There's always something for when it's something is super. I mean, right? Super wild card! Superman, the Superman thing. No? Didn't quite pick up on that, did we? You're a little young for that.
Yeah.
It was 1978. That's barely when I was alive. So, super wild card weekend. See?
Yeah.
Best shows are always when I don't prepare the production material ahead of time.
Right.
So we'll talk about the NFL Week 17. Get you ready for the playoff matchups. We will talk about college football.
As college football.
Yeah, huge football. You're great for college football. Quite interesting. Talk about the playoff semifinals and a brief look ahead, although it's a ways away yet, to next Monday night's national championship game between Alabama and
the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State. And we'll also talk a little hoops, a couple of news items in the hoop front we want to talk about today. And as Summit League play tipped off, Bison men and women getting underway, and some news on the NCAA tournament this year. So, a lot to cover on the first show of 2021 as we break it all down. But, of course, that means we start with the National Football League. Games we don't care about, briefly covered. All right? Patriots 28, Jets 14.
Who cares?
Nobody cares. Adam Gase got fired. Cam Newton will... Your prediction, will Cam Newton be back as quarterback next year?
No.
No? No chance?
He'll be like the Andy Dalton of the team. He'll back up somebody.
Is he that good?
Yeah. He's good enough to be a backup.
Okay.
He's not a starter anymore.
Certainly not. Let's be honest. The Jets are playing out the string. We all knew how this one was going to get
right over.
Patriots, you know, middled along to a 7-9 record.
All right.
That's okay.
That's
right?
What I thought was going to happen. So
yeah, nothing too crazy there.
Right.
The other games that we didn't care about: Bucks 44, Falcons 27.
Okay.
Meaningless because Tampa had already locked up the 5 seed anyway. Raheem Morris, it'll be interesting to see if he gets that
job. He should have the job.
You think so?
I think he should keep it.
We'll talk more about the coaching vacancies as they get filled, but you know, Eric Bieniemy is obviously a big candidate. Robert Saleh.
Yeah. If he's not the Lions' head coach, something is wrong in the Ford family. If he's not that coach.
Right. So we've got some other ones.
Developments,
situations. But Buccaneers handled the Falcons as usual. They finished the year 11-5. No surprise there, Grant. I thought that the Buccaneers were pretty much in cruise control. Antonio Brown had a nice game. Nice to see him coming out.
The Buccaneers really just get the offense rolling to the playoffs. And you know what? Because the way the playoff seedings work, they might end up in Green Bay in the divisional round, and they have a really good shot. They might win the NFC. I mean, just because of the 5 spot and they didn't win their division doesn't mean they couldn't beat the Saints in the playoffs. I mean, they couldn't beat Green Bay in the playoffs. It's Brady in the playoffs. That'll be fun.
Right. I think so, too. Other games we did not care about. Raiders 32, Broncos 31. Yeesh. The Raiders achieved the 500 mark. Mm-hmm. So if anything else, I guess they did that, at least that much. Broncos finished 5-11, the sleeper AFC Championship team, according to the legend.
Oh boy,
not quite working out this way. Although John Elway today did announce that he's moving up,
Stepping down from GM and going to a higher spot in the organization.
Yeah, he's not stepping down; he's moving up. Oh, he's a moving on up.
Right, but technically stepping down from the GM job and taking a higher step in the organization.
Right, and so it looks like they are going to hire somebody.
Somebody, yes.
I'm not sure who that's exactly going to be, but they're going to, at some point, have a new general manager in place, and that should prove interesting over the next few weeks to see what that drama ensues. But so anyway, the Raiders go to 500. Good for them to get back that far, well out of the playoff chase, but at least they put up a good game nevertheless. Other games we didn't care about. Seahawks 26, 49ers 23.
Seahawks look pedestrian again in the game.
Yeah, I just, you know what? If there's one team in the coming up playoffs that I just don't get excited about and they're that good, they might be the least interesting 12-4 team I've ever seen.
They win games like this every week. And it bites you in the playoffs when it doesn't need to. And they did it last year in Green Bay. They're going to do it again this year. Can you keep a damn lead in the fourth quarter? They're down, what, 2 scores?
The answer is no, by the way.
They're down, what, 2 scores in San Francisco in the fourth quarter?
If I cared enough to remember it. It was like 9-6 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and then you know, guns a-blazing, we're scoring touchdowns left and right.
I mean, really.
But it's just the Hawks get lucky in just the weirdest situations. They just manage to win 1-score games.
Well, and I wonder, the 49ers, I know they were ravaged by injuries, but...
That's true.
Do you suppose that they'll move on from Jimmy G?
There's a good chance that happening.
Think so?
Wentz can be traded to a lot of different places.
Well, we don't even want to go. The Eagles is a whole few-minute segment in itself, so let's not get too crazy for that yet, because that's going to require a whole different discussion later on in the show. Other games we didn't care about, but I guess they had some meaning. Ravens 38, Bengals 3.
It's the Bengals, who cares.
Bengals 4-11-1. Zach Taylor will keep his job.
He shouldn't, but he does.
I'm still waiting for the Ravens to win a meaningful football game. I'm sure that'll happen
at
some point.
But they get the Titans in the playoffs.
Right. And so 38-3, the Ravens whoop up on the Bengals. Let's talk about the Titans then, since you brought it up. Using the backup kicker doink shot off the upright to go to the playoffs. The Titans go to 11-5 and win the division on a 41-38 luckout win over the Texans. Deshaun Watson led the league in passing yards with you, me, sound engineer Ben,
and Brandon Cooks.
And Brandon Cooks at wide receiver. Yeah. And that's pretty impressive. Imagine if they'd actually given him a team around him.
Imagine they didn't trade DeAndre Hopkins. It'd probably be a playoff game.
Oh.
I mean, the Texans don't give themselves any favors in games alone with the talent on that roster. It doesn't help also if the front office doesn't know what the hell to do about this team.
Right.
I mean, you don't know if they're contending, if they're rebuilding. You just don't know with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You have the quarterback, and that's pretty much it. And you have your star pass rusher who wants out. Just they don't know what they're going to do.
Worse yet, you had the number 3 pick, but oh wait, you don't.
You traded
because you traded it for the guy in the gas mask, Larry McTunsil.
You traded to Miami.
So Miami, and we might as well talk about them next because they got Blackjack shellacked by the Buffalo Bills. And I'm not sure if this is a blessing or a curse for Miami, because
they should not have made the playoffs anyway.
I don't think they should have been in there anyway, but the Bills certainly proved that they were most unworthy of going into the playoffs.
They were so good at the beginning of the season. They beat the Rams at home, and they're thinking, man, these guys are really good. And they, I mean, what was their final record? 11-5, 10-6?
Dolphins?
Yeah.
10-6.
They were 10-6. That's pretty good. And you get number,
it's
you get,
not bad.
And you get number 3 pick.
And most years, you would think, especially with an expanded playoff field, you would think 10 wins would get you in there.
Nope.
But it didn't. And the Dolphins, really, the way they played in that last game, didn't really deserve it either. Tua looks a little rough around the edges yet, and he needs a training camp. He needs some time. It just didn't look very good. The Bills, meanwhile, they were steamrolling everybody. And right. It'll be interesting to see in the playoffs if they can maintain that. And we'll get into the playoff matchups in a little bit. But strange to see Buffalo running up 56 points on people. It's like the old, takes me back to like 1990.
Right.
Know, when they were K-gutting everybody to death. And 30 years later, here they are doing it again.
I'm still getting a bad vibe on Buffalo. It's just, until they can beat Kansas City, I really don't care what they do right now. Kansas City is the best team in this league, and until they can beat them, I'm not really sold on Buffalo.
Well, the team that is the best team in the league, Kansas City.
That backfired on me.
Stunk one up a little bit on the...
who cares?
But it doesn't matter. Anthony Lynn at least went out a winner. 38-21. The Chargers actually won their last 4 in a row.
Who cares?
And
who cares?
I know, but still, they won 4 in a row. The facts are facts.
Right.
So the Chiefs laid down and sat everybody, which was fine. Chargers did cover. They were a 3.5-point favorite, and they covered, unlike some of the other predictions, which we'll get to here shortly. But Chargers win that game, at least finished their season 7-9. The team...
The Chargers went 7-9?
That's what I said. The Chargers went 7-9.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why?
Okay.
You didn't think they were that good?
I thought
they won 4 in a row.
I thought they were worse.
Justin Herbert will probably win Rookie of the Year.
Shame.
But it probably is going to happen.
Which is harder to do? 4,000 yards passing or 1,400 yards receiving as a rookie?
Considering how many few people have done it as a rookie, I think it'd have to be that one. But I don't know. Another team that's limping into the playoffs.
Hit that horn!
Playoff horn.
18-7. The Wolf of Wall Street, John Wolford, leads the Cardinales, leads the Rams past the Cardinales, who started USD standout Chris Streveler at quarterback. That went well.
Took him out for a quarter, put Murray in.
Murray comes back. That was an awful football game, the limited amount I even saw of it. Cardinals, with their playoff destiny in their hands, choke it away.
Jared Goffless offense.
Right, to the Goffless Rams. The Rams finish up with the 6th seed, and they will take on Seattle in the playoffs. More on that to come. But Cardinals finish 8-8 and just out of the playoffs because they lose the tiebreaker to the Chicago Bears, who back into the playoffs with a 35-16 loss to the Green Bay Packers.
Funny when they play someone of a decent defense, they score 16 points in a game. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought it? Aaron Rodgers winds up with 48. What was the stat you told me?
48 touchdowns. J.K. Scott's punts, 46.
46 punts.
To 48 touchdowns.
48 touchdown passes.
Remember 48 touchdowns was like the thing in the 80s to get?
Yeah.
Like when Marino would get it, and we're like, oh my God, is the best quarterback ever? And then it's just like, 48.
It was awful.
That's not 53.
It was ugly. So the Packers win 35-16 and wrap up the number one seed. Games that actually mattered on the weekend. The Browns, -9, won the game but didn't cover. Mason Rudolph, unfortunately, did score enough points to lead him back into it. So the Browns win 24-22 and thus lock up the Cleveland Browns. First playoff spot in like 18 years. And also mathematically locked up the Legends victory in the pick standings. For the record, the Legend wins by 3 games. Really, we're doing that? The Game of Thrones music?
The King is here.
Wow. Okay, that's enough of that.
That's not
Wow.
Winner! Right,
so congratulations. I offer you my begrudging congratulations.
I won by what, 3 games?
3 games. 3 games you won by. Yep. Yep. So, and we haven't even gotten to the other one yet. You, of course, picked against your Vikings. So
nope.
you can.
I just knew Lions are.
No, no, we'll talk about that last. We'll get to that last because okay. We got to spend some time on their offseason.
Oh, this hold on to my crown here.
So Steelers dropped. Weren't going to have the number 3 seed. They're going to get the number 3 seed regardless of what they did in that game anyway. Colts win their way in with Miami's loss and drill the Jaguars 28-14. I don't know if drill is the right word.
I wouldn't say drill.
That was not a high-octane performance, and I have some serious concerns for the Colts going into Buffalo. Although they did have a running game. They had a nice running game.
Right.
I just kind of wonder how effective that's going to be against Buffalo in the playoffs, but we'll get to that. Jaguars remember how many teams have lost 15 in a row. I know the Panthers did it a few years back, and obviously I know the Browns and the Lions both did it when they went 0-16. But winning that first game, like Carolina, the one year that it was like the George Seifert era, they beat the Vikings in the opener and then didn't beat anybody else. Of course they beat the Vikings.
Of course they did. What year was this? 2000?
I don't remember the year that was.
2000 or something?
I'm not sure what year that was. George Seifert was still the coach. That was in 2001.
Okay, that year.
Yeah, 2001 is when that happened. They opened up the season with a win over the Vikings.
And didn't win.
And then completely crapped the rest of the year. Not winning another single game in the whole friggin' year. Bikes were 5-11 that
just
year.
Just think of 2 seasons later and then wind up in the Super Bowl. What?
Yeah. Nobody understands the NFL anymore, seriously.
Yeah.
Saints beat the Panthers 33-7.
Who cares?
Teddy Bridgewater got benched for somebody.
P.J. Walker,
right. Saints, who, despite not having any running backs. Your guy Ty Montgomery was the running back. With your guy Taysom Hill. Saints Cruz, they weren't in any serious danger losing this game anyway. So they finish up 12-4 on the year as well. And then the two interesting games of the day, aside from the Vikings, who we'll get to last. Giants 23, Cowboys 19. The Giants, horrible. Almost literally tried to sit on the lead, and then the ball jammed up Wayne Gallman's ass. Luckily, he was able to find it, his ass with both hands. After much discussion, they did award the ball to the Giants.
After a conference call, they got together.
Seriously. If that isn't the NFC East in a nutshell, I don't know what is.
No, that was the fumble a couple weeks back.
23-19, the Giants win.
Who cares?
And then, so the Giants advanced to the NFC East final that night. And for about 2.5 quarters, Washington, Philadelphia was a legitimate NFL game.
And then it wasn't.
And then all of a sudden, it turned into August 15th, roughly, which is about week 4 of the preseason, if there was one.
There was one, yes.
And all of a sudden, with the game 17-14...
Let's
bring in Nate Sudfeld into the game, who really had a great day. I believe he actually did throw at least a few completions.
got picked,
fumbled the snap. I'm not quite exactly sure what the rest of it was, but it was odd, to say the least.
The bad that the Eagles backup is kind of scary, but that's just like Eagles.
Well, they put Carson Wentz.
You're trying to win.
They put Carson Wentz on the inactive list. Right?
They deactivated him.
Right.
He was fine. They still deactivated him.
So,
like, Eagles, make up your mind. What do you want to do here?
Right. So, on his first offensive series, he got, by the way, it was draft pick of Washington. Think they knew something? got picked off on his first offensive series to open the fourth quarter. And then he fumbled the shotgun snap. Chase Young picked that up. Nearly scored, by the way. That set up the Dustin Hopkins field goal at the end. But I'm like, and you have all these New York Giants players on Twitter, like, just bitching.
Even Eli Manning got it on.
Yeah, they're just bitching that, you know, Nate Sudfeld got put in the game. And, like, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, Giants guys, if you would have won 7 friggin' games, you wouldn't be in this position. But you're placing your playoff.
Or just beat Washington once.
You're placing your playoff hopes on Nate Sudfeld.
I think they're trying Jalen Hurts, but
honestly.
But what I really want to hear the reason for Doug Peterson and why he would do that.
Well, he said that he was going to get him some playing time.
Don't promise the playing time now, but you did it last week.
That was dumb. Honestly, that's the kind of thing that gets draft lotteries going in.
When they were getting blown out by, I think it was Dallas, put him in there. Don't put him in now.
Yeah.
We promised him playing time. We promised it to him last week.
Yeah, I really don't understand that. To me, that's absolutely a... And of course he's going to say he was coaching to win. Bullshit.
Yeah.
but man, he's just absolutely getting... Doug Peterson, I dare to say, and I don't know this for sure, but man, if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm not doing that. I mean, you look to your own fan base like you're just giving up on life.
Anything more giving up on with next season, which quarterback do I go to? Wentz or Hurts? I think Wentz is on the way out. But where would you trade Wentz? Colts, Niners, Patriots.
I don't know. I scratch my head, and I thought the Eagles, for what they put on the field for the first couple of quarters, was doing just fine. I mean, if you think about it, they got no Fletcher Cox, no Derek Barnett, no Goddard, no Jackson, no Miles Sanders, no Wentz, no Jeffrey. And they got out there with Boston Scott.
Love Boston Scott.
Greg Ward Jr., who apparently was going to play every offensive position during the game.
Was slinging touchdown passes at Houston.
And a defense that was banged up so badly that they couldn't even stop a banged up Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin from tearing him up. Honestly, I thought Chase Young was going to murder somebody during the game. He was that good.
Well, Tom Brady's next for him to get.
So. Right. We'll see about that. But anyway, that's a pathetic effort by the Eagles, and that pretty much ends a pathetic season for the Eagles, and they will pick sixth in the draft coming up, and it'll be interesting to see what directions they approach life with. And lastly, the Vikes. I mean, it was great that they won. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just glad they covered. I'm just glad the Lions covered. That's all.
And of course you correctly
37-35.
I had winner, to winner, had winner, to winner. Had to take a desperate chance in that game.
No, I was being desperate because I picked. Just let this go for a second.
We got a one more time anyway. It's the last time we'll get to play it this year. I mean, you got to give him credit. Hit it, boys.
Go Vikings, let's win this game. Go Vikings, honor your name. Go get
the again, I'm letting it run because it's the last time we're going to hear it. One more time. Here we go.
Hey! One by two. All right.
So the Lions, with Matthew Stafford, apparently with
the Lions got screwed.
Approximately 14 different injuries to Matthew Stafford.
The Lions got screwed on about every call you can think of.
The two worst calls I've seen all year.
Number one, how is that roughing the passer?
They're roughing the passer on fourth and goal against Kirk Cousins. Because apparently they didn't know how to execute a barrel roll off the defense.
No, but that's the ending of a form-fit tackle. That's not right. That's not a penalty. It's a corner. And they weigh nothing.
And the other thing you will never convince me of is that Marvin Jones didn't catch that touchdown.
Hey, Dean, how is that not a catch?
I'm completely confused by why that's the case. I just don't get it. But anyway, the Lions, who riddled the Vikings secondary and the Vikings did it right back. Essentially what the game came down to was some missed extra points, shocking.
Yeah.
Not by the Vikings, but by both teams. And the Vikings were able to turn a few more of them into touchdowns than, turnovers into touchdowns. And Harrison Smith got a pick. Nice,
because
he threw it right to him. Mike Boone, Alexander Mattison, Amir Abdullah kind of handled the rushing chores. Cousins threw for over 400 yards. Justin Jefferson, rookie receiving record.
1,400 on the button, yeah.
Right? So we got that. very nicely done in all phases by the Vikings, except defense, which has pretty much been the problem all year. So the Vikings finished 7-9, and in honor of that, we go to the history montage. And this man.
I'm not fucking going 7-9, or 8-8, or 9-7, okay? Or 10-6, for that matter.
Yep, correct.
This team's too talented. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not going to settle for
Jeff,
that.
Jeff,
I'm not effing going 7-9. I don't care if it's not bleeped out. It's no. It's 7-9. I'm not going 7-9. Well, you did. And I think that's tremendously disappointing.
Well, here's the bright side. Kubiak retired. They're the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but his kid's going to take over, it sounds like it might be the case.
Or they're exploring other options.
Or Rick Danielson?
Or Anthony Lynn. Who runs
Why did you have to tell me that right now?
Or almost the who runs almost the exact same offense.
Yeah.
Can we please run something other than play action and run?
So again, Dalvin Cook missed the game due to the death of his father. A good effort by the Vikings to end the year. At least they go out a winner. That is, you know, as much as anything else, you do want to go out a winner in your last game of the year. Hurts draft position a little bit, but we'll live. We'll talk about the playoffs in a minute, but let's give you some of the.
No, this is your picks. This is your picks.
No, we're not playing.
Got our ass
no.
Totally kicked.
No, I did not get my ass totally
kicked. Diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked.
Okay, yeah, that was my picks for the last few weeks. No question about that.
That was the second half of that season.
Just, again, to review the major award winners, it's a major award. Deshaun Watson run the passing title, 4,823 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 48 touchdowns. Bonus points to you if you can tell me who threw the longest pass of the year that was completed. You get one guess.
I get one guess.
Yeah.
Do I get hints?
AFC quarterback.
Okay.
AFC West quarterback. I'll even give you that.
Drew Lock,
correct. 92-yard pass. Carson Wentz had the most picks with Drew Lock, most times sacked. Most yardage lost, sacked. So a great year there.
Not boy, Carson.
That's a good year. Longest run of the year, you remember who it was?
Derrick Henry?
No, Ronald Jones with a 98-yard touchdown run for Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Stephon Diggs, 127 receptions and 1,535 receiving yards. Do you know who caught the Drew Lock 92-yard touchdown pass?
Jerry Judy,
yep, that's right. Alvin Kamara, coronavirus-ridden Alvin Kamara, scored 21 touchdowns to lead the league. Interestingly, non-offensive touchdowns leader this year was who?
Adam Thielen.
Troy Hill, non-offensive. You understand what non-offensive means? It means they didn't score it on offense.
Oh, okay.
Troy Hill of the Rams, who apparently must have had three scores.
Okay,
right. Do I have to review the definition of non-offensive again? Okay, all right, very good. No surprise, Braden Mann and the Jets led the league in punts and punting yardage.
That a boy.
That a boy.
Special
teams
player of the year right there.
Right there. Yeah, Mason Crosby, the most extra points made. Shocker. Jeremy Chinn, most fumble return TDs for the season. Oh, wait, it was in one game. Oh, wait, it was in like 7 minutes.
More like 5 minutes.
Whatever it was. Let's see here, just some other interesting ones. Matt Stafford led the league in pick sixes. Yay, Matt, with three. That was very nice. Dak Prescott led the league in net yards per pass attempt. Very nice. Very nice.
He played six games.
Right. Tyreek Hill, most yards touched, or per touch. Sounds kind of dirty myself. Ryan Tannehill, most game-winning comebacks. Derrick Henry went over 2,000 yards. 2,027, right?
Right.
And the longest punt return of the year was by Keelan Cole of Jacksonville. T.J. Watt led the league in sacks with 15. Not the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Cunningham, 164 tackles to lead the league. So some interesting names,
right?
As we look at the top of that. Let's start at the bottom first, Grant. The draft
order.
Now we're here. The top. The draft order, of course, has much to be determined yet. But we do know that the Jaguars, with a new coach, will pick number one. The Jets will pick second, as we already talked about. The Texans have the third pick, but traded it to Miami for the human gas mask, Larry McConsell. So they are third. Falcons will pick fourth. The Bengals fifth. The Eagles sixth. The Lions seventh. Panthers eight. Broncos nine. Cowboys 10, Giants 11, 49ers 12, Chargers 13, Vikings 14, Patriots 15, Cardinals 16, Raiders 17, and the Dolphins will pick 18. So picks 1, 2, 4 all will have new coaches or coaches that aren't interims. Pick 7 and pick 13. All of those will have new coaches on staff at some point here. I know we talked a little bit about coaching candidates, Grant. I know you're a big Eric Bieniemy guy. I know we have Robert Sala talked about. Other guys that seem to be on the coaching radar.
I've heard Urban Meyer thrown around.
Urban Meyer to Jacksonville has been a popular.
Lincoln Riley's been thrown around for a while. I don't know who's going where. I mean, really.
Talking about Dennis Allen, really?
Really?
No, that's not happening.
Jack Del Rio again?
I don't think Jack's going to coach anymore. I think he's probably about done.
Jim Schwartz, but he's retiring.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz is retiring. Todd Bowles? No.
No.
Joe Brady, offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll, it's a name I've heard. He's the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't know who the Ravens.
I know that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Ravens offensive coordinator might take a job.
I know the Chargers are getting with the best name that I've heard, Matt Eberflus. Who is the third season as the Colts defensive coordinator? Tony Elliott, who is the offensive coordinator at Clemson. Although you might want to think about that one for a little bit.
Yep.
Leslie Frazier. Oh God, no. Let's not.
What did he do as Vikings head coach? Seriously, what did he do?
Not friggin' much.
Yeah, at least Zimmer's active. Leslie Frazier was a Jack Pardee in his era.
Marvin Lewis has interviewed.
Rex Ryan?
No. Josh McDaniels?
Why not Rex
Ryan? Josh McDaniels.
I just shooting down Rex Ryan for
Greg Roman, who gets like a visit every...
Back up to Rex Ryan. We're just shooting down Rex Ryan.
He's on TV. He doesn't want to be.
And?
No.
Like, he wouldn't want to come back to the NFL.
Not happening. Nope. Brian Schottenheim. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator.
Brian Schottenheim would be a good one.
Arthur Smith is another popular one that may be out there. So all offensive coordinator of the Titans, by the way. So let's look forward to that. And see what happens there. Playoffs. I just hope we can win a game. Let's look at the if the season ended yesterday, and it did. I love it. So the playoff matchups are set. So let's run through those real quick before we bow out of the NFL conversation for the day. Let's start in the AFC. Chiefs, number one seed. They will have the week off and play the lowest remaining seed left. So we've got Colts at Bills. That's 7-2. Mm-hmm. Browns at Steelers, 6-3. And Ravens at Titans, 5-4. You have a favorite among the AFC matchups?
Most likely to win? Or?
No, I mean just like which game do you like the best?
Oh, Ravens-Titans. Oh, Ravens-Titans.
You're going to watch them run the ball for 20, you know?
That, and I want to see if the Browns will actually put up... I think they would put up a fight in this kind of game because, one, first playoff appearance in 18 friggin' years.
Yep.
And against the same team that you lost to 18 friggin' years ago. Can you actually beat them this time?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm interested to see the Browns in prime time on Sunday night against a fully loaded Steelers team.
Which they struggle with.
They did. And,
they've only won at Heinz Field once in the last 18 seasons. One time.
Let's look at the NFC playoff matchups briefly. Packers have the bye. Bears at Saints. Rams at Seahawks.
Yay.
Buccaneers at the Washington football team.
Game over by halftime.
Which game do you like of those the most?
Rams-Seahawks. And I think the Rams will win that game. The Rams are for some reason are a bad matchup for Seattle. Why? I don't know. Just because it's a division opponent. But when the Rams have beaten them 5 of the last 7 games, I don't know what makes them so good against Seattle. Just because it's a division opponent.
That's fair.
But Jalen Ramsey is also a reason because he shuts down any top receiver. So he'd probably be one of them with DK, and he shuts down DK Metcalf. So make Russell Wilson make his BS plays and beat you, because if they'll have the running game going and you keep pressuring Russell Wilson routinely, you're going to get to him at some point. You force the turnover to, they can win that game.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just stating my opinion here.
So Saturday, the early game, Colts Bills is early, Rams Seahawks mid afternoon, Buccaneers Washington is the late game. Sunday. Ravens Titans is the early game. Bears Saints is the afternoon game, and Browns Steelers the primetime game. Just to give you an idea what the odds makers are saying early: Bills 6.5 over the Colts, Seahawks -4.5 over the Rams, Tampa the biggest favorite of the weekend in the of the Saturday games, 8.5 over Washington. Titans and Ravens. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites on the road. Bears are 10-point underdogs to the Saints. That's the heaviest spread of the weekend. And Steelers 4.5 over the Browns to open up the to close out, I should say, the NFL playoff weekend. So much to be decided in the next super wild card weekend as the NFL gets underway, and we'll see how that all puts together, which leads us into the closeout, for the most part, of the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Go Rebels. Go Rebels, go Buckeyes.
Peach Bowl, Georgia defeats Cincinnati 24-21 in a completely 21? Predictable result. As I said, the fraudulent group of five teams continue to go into games that they, a half-interested Georgia team and a fully engaged Cincinnati team with a horrible offense.
Yeah.
Who couldn't get out of its own way fast enough.
What is that offense?
That was horrible. The uniforms, though, I must say, were top shelf in that game.
Well, the thing I recognize about group of fives, they would be the most, like, they just get penalized constantly. Stupid penalties constantly.
Well, they're undisciplined.
That was the word.
Undisciplined, because they can get away with that against playing against Tulane and Southern Mississippi.
You don't headbutt a guy after the play is over. Yeah, that's targeting, you dumbass.
That's dumb. Just dumb penalties like that. And Georgia, again, what always happens in these group of five games versus the Power Five boys is that the Power Fives play disinterested for about a half and fall behind.
Then it's, oh, wait, that's the game we're in.
I'm and then all of a sudden they crank it up to 11 as they did in Spinal Tap, and it goes the other way. And again, Georgia needed a late field goal to bail them out, but they did get it done. So congratulations to the Bulldogs. Cincinnati goes into the fraudulent group of five pool with the rest of them, including the fraudulent Roosters from Coastal Carolina, who still suck. Verbo Citrus Bowl, Northwestern, the Fighting
Reese. Collins Auburn.
Fighting Reese Davis's whoop up on Auburn. They're pretty good. Line was 3.5, 35-19. They win it. Pretty nondescript game, Grant. The Northwestern was for real.
Northwestern had something to prove, and they proved it against a SEC team that was mediocre, and the coaches got fired. So right. It's just like, Auburn's going to continue just being a 500 SEC team for a while.
Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Kentucky staves off North Carolina State 23-21.
Yeah.
NC State.
It's just an A game.
Yeah, Kentucky had a losing record. Losing SEC team still puts the wood to a top-level ACC team.
ACC, 0-6 in Anchorage Bowl games.
So line was 2.5 on this one. Kentucky wins that one, so we lost on that game. In the Outback Bowl, Ole Miss, the Rebels, 26-20 winners over Indiana, who apparently forgot how to play defense for periods of the game.
Woo! What did I tell you with Ole Miss? What did I tell you?
You did. You like Lane Kiffin, and you like that whole...
Their offense won against Indiana's defense?
I still like Indiana. I mean, they had a hell of a season for Indiana. By Indiana football standards...
That's not bad.
It was a good year. So I don't regret picking Indiana in that one at all. I took a -8.5. Obviously, that was a disaster. But so that cut the lead to 1. PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, Iowa State handles Oregon, and again makes me continue to regret why the Bison didn't get a shot at Oregon this year, because Oregon.
Because they would have pounded them with this.
Oregon winds up the Pac-12 champs and finished 4-3.
Hey,
Well, they're 4-2 going into this game, yeah.
Right?
4-3.
Yeah, I get it, but...
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
Iowa State, congratulations to them. Matt Campbell...
Might be on his way out, but that's okay.
Matt Campbell's either going for a higher-level job in the...
See, Matt Campbell's not coach at really...
Of course, he's not going to Texas, because Steve Sarkisian already got that job.
That move just really... He's that coach, it really annoys me.
Matt Campbell?
Yeah, he's like a... Because he's that fired-up, passionate coach. He's like... He's like that Central Arkansas coach. Just can't stand him. Like, at least Matt is a good guy. They feel like him because of his demeanor. Matt Campbell's just fiery out of him.
Okay. Didn't realize there was that personal an issue
for
him.
Yeah, that's not a big Matt Campbell fan.
That's fair enough. The Capital One Orange Bowl, Texas A&M, who some were advocating should be in the playoff instead of Notre Dame, struggled to put away the North Carolina. Yeah, and that's being kind, but quarterback for North Carolina is pretty good.
Sam Howell's pretty good.
Yeah, he's going to be on the Heisman list next year.
That's
if Trubisky could get on there from there, he certainly will. But nice job by North Carolina, but they simply didn't have the athletes. The freshman running back from Texas A&M, Achim or whatever his name was, yeah, tore off a 76-yard touchdown when he should have been down for about a 6-yard gain. That was not bad. And going into that game, I thought Carolina could at least give him a game. We both were on A&M minus 7.5, and they covered without difficulty. Now we get to the two games of consequence. And again, when you look at these games, I'm not as much surprised about the first one that we saw. But I am a little more surprised about the second one we saw. So let's start with the game we were not surprised by.
Bama clobbered Notre Dame.
Alabama 31, Notre Dame 14. And if you bet Alabama on the line, you lost because Notre Dame got the sneaky SVP bad beat backdoor cover late. But you never felt like Notre Dame was in this game.
They never were.
Alabama scored early and often in the first half. Took a comfortable lead to the locker room. Never was seriously tested. It kind of played out like we thought, but I felt like Alabama took the gas off, or foot off the gas, in the third quarter anyway.
If Notre Dame would have kept it close against Clemson in the ACC Championship game, I would have thought, hey, they got a shot in that game. They got their doors blown off by Clemson, and you're like, they got no shot of beating Alabama. You knew that if they were the four line, they won't score more than 17 points in that game. They just weren't going to. And it's just, Bama... I mean, can you cover Devontae Smith? No. Can they stop Najee Harris? No. They're just kind of eh. Notre Dame's running game was great. It's been a great running game all year. But there's just times where they just fall flat and they just can't get anything going. And future Buffalo backup Ian Book was just average.
Looked like future backup.
Dude, just average.
He's a nice player, but he's just never going to be elite. He can't.
He's just not the team as a whole. Notre Dame, there's always a couple of teams that are better than them, and those teams always beat them. And then that's just the way Notre Dame is.
Well, it's just better to be in the playoff and lost than to not be in the playoff at all.
Just ask Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They get there and lose.
So, Alabama, to no one's surprise, routes into the national championship game. The game of the night was Ohio State 49, Clemson 28. And so
the Ohio State University.
The legend correctly predicted, he tried to say. 7.5-point favorites, Clemson.
What was that?
Shit the bed, quite frankly. So we wind up in the bowl prediction contest tied at 17-7 apiece, and we will work out there might be some sort of thumb wrestling tiebreaker or something when we pick the game Monday night. That'll be decided.
What if we both pick Alabama?
Well, then there's gonna have to be a tiebreaker of some kind.
Some kind. So,
some damn thing. We'll have to do. Maybe we'll have to have a on-air contest or something to decide who wins. But all that being aside, Grant, I thought the most telling thing that happened in this game was the hit that Justin Fields took. Again, he's like the Timex watch. He gets a licking.
Someone's got to redefine what targeting is. I mean,
that's a bullshit call. I
fully agree with you. I thought it was just the head. That was the head or neck area, but no, apparently it's everywhere on your body. I mean, your ribs have been saved. That was the rule. But it's just, I thought targeting was just the head or neck area. I didn't thought the ribs would be with that. If you love the crown of your helmet to your ribs, I get that hurts, but I mean, it's just like, it's not the head area, right? But Ohio State looked fired up and ready to play. Clemson, they expected to win and didn't win. They got their ass handed to them.
I thought the Clemson wide receiver group would be better than what they were.
They sucked.
And Trevor Lawrence, for all this time he spent making plays and trying to make plays, I don't know if he has. I mean, he didn't have Hunter Renfro and a few others that he's had over the years.
Justin Ross is out for the year already. I
thought the who's the guy from Ohio State? I'm blanking on his name.
Ohio State.
The receiver that caught all the passes.
Chris Olave.
Olave. Oh yeah, that guy. He was good.
Yeah, he's good.
He was better than I thought.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they were. When I watched that Northwestern game, they didn't make a big play in the passing game.
Well, because Olave wasn't there.
And he wasn't playing. This looked a lot different.
I think Fields was fired up because Trevor Lawrence is older. Justin Fields has always been second to Trevor Lawrence with everything. Let me go to the Elite 11 camp that judges all the quarterbacks and where they're graded going into the signing days and stuff. Of course, Lawrence is one, Fields is two. It's always Lawrence is one, Fields is two. Fields proved that he's better than Lawrence.
So, going back to the NFL for a second, let me ask you this. You have the Jaguars' number one pick right now.
Lawrence.
Still Lawrence? Even despite what you saw?
Yeah. But it's not going to matter who they pick because they're going to suck the next year anyways. I think they've got some talent. James Robinson, DJ Chark's a good start.
And the Chenault kid's pretty good.
He's pretty good, but there are a couple years away from being really good. If they can rebuild
their defense is terrible.
If they can rebuild the defense, they'll be really good. But people are generational talents. I don't believe in that until I see it. Because if you can make that Jags team, if he gets them to six wins, give him the Rookie of the Year right there. Because that Jags team sucks. And if you can turn that team into six wins, you can just handle the Rookie of the Year.
Generational talent's a funny thing because
yeah.
I don't think anybody saw.
I don't believe in that word.
Anything Patrick Mahomes did at Texas Tech, he wouldn't have gone to Texas Tech if he was a generational talent,
right?
Okay, Tom Brady wasn't a generational talent,
right? So Andrew Luck, they considered him a generational. He was a perfect passer,
Never even made it to a Super Bowl.
But he was hurt all the time.
But you look at a guy like Manning, who was supposed to be as good as he was, and he was.
So it's a mixed bag of generational talents. I mean,
if you look at the starting quarterback,
Jeff George is a generational talent. It sucked.
Did you really just say that?
Yeah, he was.
A generational talent.
He was considered that.
Well, let's take a look at the generational talents playing quarter. Just let's hop into this for a second. Aaron Rodgers, discounted at California.
Wasn't considered one.
Drew Brees.
Wasn't too short.
No. Russell Wilson.
Too short.
Yeah. Alex Smith. Number one pick, but never obviously injured. Roger. Brady, we just talked about. Goff, no.
No.
Trubisky, no.
No.
AFC playoff quarterbacks. Mahomes, wasn't considered that a talent. Josh Allen went to Wyoming, for God's sake. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger went to a MAC school.
He went to Miami of Ohio.
Ryan Tannehill played in the Southeastern Conference, but he was never intended to be that good.
Where did he
go
to school again?
He went to A&M.
That's right.
Lamar Jackson.
Louisville, but at least
ain't one shit.
But at least he won a Heisman.
Baker Mayfield, good, but not a generational talent. Phillip Rivers has been around for forever, but North Carolina State isn't exactly where they've been developed. So, of those 14 quarterbacks,
two?
Maybe I would identify as being like, okay, they were drafted to be the guy. And
Joe Burrow could be a generational talent at some point.
It could be, but Kyler Murray?
I don't know.
You look at guys like that. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of that. But
yeah, I just don't take the generational talent label seriously. Mm-hmm. Prove it on the field first.
Well, speaking of proving it on the field, then since Ohio State certainly did, and then Trey Sermon had another nice game running the ball. But and we will break down the national title game more in the next shows. But I just look at this game. My initial impression, and Alabama is a 7.5 point favorite, is that Alabama simply will score too much for Ohio State to be able to handle. And I may be oversimplifying it. I just don't see any way that Ohio State is going to be able to ring up 49 on a Nick Saban defense. I know Florida did. They've scored 46. I get that. But I just got...
But funny is that Alabama still scored enough to win.
Right. So, and I think they'll get done whatever needs to get done to win. I certainly am taking the over in this game. But if I look at where Alabama is right now, and I look at where Ohio State is right now, in terms of offensive firepower, absolutely there's no question that I take Alabama's offense. Because Alabama has the best quarterback in the country, arguably, right? Playing right now, Mac Jones. Najee Harris, probably the best running back in the country, and certainly they have the best wide receiver in the country. So they're three of Jones, Harris, Smith against Fields, Sermon, and Olave.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, let me ask you something. Because Ohio State winning, does that get bring some balance back to the CFP universe?
No.
Because, I mean, Clemson, I mean, Clemson and Bama 5, that's not what people wanted to see.
Well, you don't have to watch it, though.
No, but...
You're big. You don't want to see that again.
I mean, if it's the two best teams in college football, I'm okay.
Well, I think we do.
Right.
I think we established that Notre Dame and Clemson are not the best two teams in college football.
Right.
Decidedly.
You start going back to the BCS. I mean, there's no right answer to this.
Sure there would. If this would have been... You know what? If this would have been the BCS, this is exactly the title game we would have got. Because Notre Dame and Clemson both would have had one loss and had been out. Ohio State was undefeated. Alabama was undefeated. Guess what the BCS would have come out with? This game.
We should have done the BCS system, but with a committee, not with computers. Because the computers always had a flaw.
We'd have had the same game in 2000 that we had in 2020.
Right, but I'd rather have the two teams than have the whole four team. I've come around to more just having two and then maybe have four. But six is fine too. But
well, at this point, they may as well just make it eight because they're going to need to recoup revenue from COVID anyway. So they may as well bring eight into the equation.
Right.
Give the Power Five conferences their sweep. Give all the conference champions the automatic bid. That gives you room to get the second place SEC team in Notre Dame in. And the best group of five gets the.
But that makes rankings irrelevant, though.
They are already. I don't need to point any further than Coastal Carolina, do I? To be a fraud. Cincinnati was rated the eighth best team in the country. They were the according to the rankings, they were going to beat Georgia. Maybe they almost did. But are you telling me an Ole Miss unranked beat 11th-ranked Indiana? And are you seriously telling me the rankings mean anything, especially from the sports writers? Mike McFeely picking the rankings? Really? Really?
I mean, really, we should just have one poll. Screw the AP polls, have the CFP poll.
They shouldn't let the coaches vote on anything, first of all.
Dabo will never release his coaches poll.
Yeah, again. There shouldn't be. That's a non-issue. I don't care if you ranked him 11th. What a stupid thing to do. They didn't talk about it it's a big deal.
Clemson, that game, they were made to lose. They were just... Clemson was like, we're going to win. Ohio State was fired up. Dabo picked you 11th. Yada, yada, yada. Clemson talking. Ohio State...
I just don't think Clemson's as good, and I think you saw it in some of the games they played this year.
I mean, they were squeaking by Boston College.
They did do that with a backup. Let's be fair.
True, but five-star for five-star, he should be pretty good in his own right. So, I mean... I think Ohio State could be better in the long run.
I think Clemson's defense and their wide receiving core hurt down.
I think people probably figure out Brent Venables' defense.
I was a big Etienne believer, too, and every time I see that guy, it just seems to... doesn't quite have the game I think an elite running back should. Now, he's going to be probably a pretty decent pro player.
I mean, if a team needs a running back in the first round, they're going to take him. I mean, it might be a team that's desperate. I mean...
he just doesn't really fire me up that
just
much.
Just like Miami doesn't have a for sure running back. I mean, maybe they take him at three.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll get to more of the BCS or BCS the playoff talk later. Two things I want to ask about real quick before we move off of college football and go into our last part of the show here. Heisman winner, is there any doubt it's Devontae Smith?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, your thing Tuesday.
I mean,
night?
Yeah, it's not Trask because of what that performance in the.
That was before the bowl game.
Right.
The voting was done.
He wasn't the best player in the country.
Lawrence, you miss games, you're automatically not going to win.
I'm surprised. I mean, Najee Harris was finished fifth. Justin Fields wasn't ranked in there.
Well, he only played six games.
Right. But Lawrence should not have been in the conversation at all.
I think it's Smith's to lose. I'd be shocked if he doesn't run away with it, literally.
I mean, Devontae Smith, he might be the number one. He might win the Heisman and be the 15th overall pick.
That's
really what could happen.
Other thing of note today, and it kind of got lost in the last part of the day, but I thought it was important to bring it up, especially since we have a little bit of a personal connection to it. AJ Blazek, the Bison offensive line coach, is moving on to Wyoming. work for Craig Bohl. Bohl's line coach is going to go work for University of Illinois with Brett Bielema, who got hired there. And so pretty quick transition for Blazek to move up. Certainly, I'm sure there's a salary involved. You play with his son Cooper on the Davies roster, right. Grant. And what are your impressions of the loss of A.J. Blazek to the Bison Lions?
I'm not saying it's going to mean that much because the Bison Lions are already really good as is. And they're going to miss him, but who they're going to bring in, no idea. But I think they probably have some suggestions in mind. Like you said, it's like they're not going to leave him high and dry. They're gonna have some. They're already gonna have some guys in mind to bring in. But and yeah, they'll miss him, but they'll be okay.
So 6 weeks before the season, the FCS season starts, and
has their spring camp opened yet?
No, they don't for a couple more weeks yet.
Yeah, so they'll get one hired.
So we'll see what happens there. But
it's not like the scheme's going to change.
I mean, no, probably not.
It's not like the scheme's going to change and the play caller is going to change. Everything's the same except the offensive line coach.
But I've gotten to know AJ a little bit during his time here, as you've gotten to know Cooper, and so we wish them all the best in their move to Wyoming. Joining the Vegans and a few others that have been
it's just become the Bison coaching staff in Laramie.
Yeah, no, it is truly Bison West. And to think they might be in the same conference in a few years is something interesting to behold there too. So let's go to the hardwood. Grant Nelson's pretty good.
He's not bad.
You see that dunk?
I did not.
Whew. Grant Nelson from the Bison is becoming one of those guys that's like, wow, where did he come from? Devil's Lake specifically, but
right.
Summit League first weekend of hoops. Bison go out and not to anyone's great deal of surprise, go out and sweep Western Illinois
at the College Run Western Hall.
At Western Hall, sparsely attended games. I don't even know if they allowed fans. But 68-50 on Saturday, and then they followed it up with a 78-67 win on Sunday. So the Bison are the early leaders in the Summit League standings. And, you know, Grant, these are two games that if you're a Bison fan, they're like, yep, you should win these.
Right, but five of their six losses are to non-mid-major opponents.
Right, right.
And the other one's to South Dakota State. So I wish we didn't schedule that many out of division opponents right away.
Well, it isn't really going to matter.
I mean, think of the Kansas and the TCU games as you were in the game the entire time. You took a top 10 Kansas team to the wire. You took a TCU team that's pretty good in the Big 12. You took them down to the wire too. So you have nothing to be ashamed of in those games, and they're going to be a favorite from the Sunday.
Right, Bison, Oral Roberts swept a pair of games over Omaha.
Omaha!
Which is a little bit of a surprise it wasn't a split. That's always been a tough road test. South Dakota sweeps two from Denver, and so they are also at 2-0. UNKC and UND split their weekend series, so they are... UND's 2-9. They are not good so far this year.
Well, who are they?
Right, but still, that's got to be a little bit alarming. They all have lost to the Bison already as well. They do not look like a very good basketball team right now. But so anyway, the conference season now in full swing. They're doing that deal where they play the back-to-back on the weekends now. Bison will get Omaha at home Friday and Saturday coming up.
Wait. They get to play home games?
Yes, actual home games, believe it or not.
Why does it get to play home games?
So, South Dakota State, by the way, did not play this weekend. They get their bye week to start the Summit League season.
When was the last time they lost at home? I mean, seriously.
It's been a while since they lost.
It's been a while. Can somebody please beat them at home, please?
Lastly, the NCAA tournament has been announced that they will play all the games this year in Indianapolis.
Back home again.
So that'll be the... And the Final Four was scheduled for Indianapolis anyway. But they will move all the games. They will play at various sites, including Purdue's Arena.
Assembly Hall.
It'd be cool to play a tournament game at Assembly Hall. Right. Just because it's Assembly Hall.
But Hinkle Fieldhouse.
Right? Hickory! Should have had that
clip. That's the absolute perfect place to put it.
So they'll be playing Butler Fieldhouse. They'll be playing at Bankers Life Arena. It'll be fun.
Let's see.
To watch.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Lucas Oil Stadium, Hinkle Fieldhouse, Indiana Farmers Coliseum, or UPUE.
Oh, is that UPUE's home? Yeah. Yes, okay.
Assembly Hall and Mackey Arena.
Is Mackey Purdue?
Mackey's Purdue.
So they're going to play in West Lafayette.
Assembly's Indiana, UPUE's the Coliseum, Hinkle's Butler.
They should. You know what they should do? and this just, again, I know you can't do this. They should play a game. You know what they should do? It, and I presumably that means Dayton isn't going to host any games. They say the first four. You know what they should play the first four? I'm lobbying this right now, NCAA. Listen to me. Listen to me and listen good, because this will make you so much money it wouldn't even be funny. Play the first four in the Hickory Gym in Knightstown. Play it in the Hickory Gym.
Where they still play basketball.
With the old scoreboards, and play it in there, and it will be the greatest story. I'd love for the Bison to get in the tournament and just play in that building. NCAA, make that happen. All right? Play the first four in Hickory's gym and have them wear, like, the kick-ass uniforms. Get the refs to get that gray top.
Yeah. And then the gray sweatpants.
Make that happen. I am going to lobby for that on every show that they should play.
Lucas Oil Stadium, hosted by the Horizon League.
Nobody cares.
In Ball State, hosts Maple.
Who won't be there, trust me, they won't
be
there.
Don't worry. David
Letterman! Seriously. Anyway.
He looks like Santa Claus and David Letterman.
Now. Yeah, David Letterman now, that's kind of weird what's happened to him anyway.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, not a good scenario there. Anything else we need to cover? I don't think we have anything else to cover.
But that'd be a great idea.
Yeah,
the Hickory Gym.
I'm serious. I'm gonna get that. I gotta get that going. We need to play the first four in the Hickory Gym in Knightstown. Make it happen. You got 2 months to get it done. It would be great. And then we could even have, like, Gene Hackman could come out and throw up the first, like, jump ball. They could invite Dennis Hopper and Shooter and all the gang there. That would be great. Oh, I love it when I get a good idea. Well, as usual, my genius won't be appreciated until I'm gone. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @LegendLoudmouth. That's @LegendLoudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows. And why in 2021 Coastal Carolina will still and always continue to suck ground. How do we find
you? Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @LegendLoudmouth_pod. LegendLoudmouth_pod. You may like to hate the show, we don't care. Same as please, and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Well, first show of 2021's in the books. Sounded a lot like the shows we did in 2020. But then again, who am I to judge?
Right.
Anyway, Thursday, NFL playoff previews. We'll break down all six of Super Wild Card Weekend, give you our picks, and look forward to the playoffs. We'll also preview the Bison basketball weekend coming up, and our early thoughts again on the national championship game.
So when's our anniversary show?
Coming up next week, 100th episode on Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.